Welcome this morning. Trust you have had a good week and are blessed. If you're visiting, feel at home. We've been going through a bit of a series that keep changing a bit, but this last little while, just the only way I can describe it is spiritual life and the desire for more of God. If we look back at the last few weeks, taking up our cross, commitment, the community, because I didn't give it a name before, but just choose your heart, just the cost of the decision to be committed to God, and as leaders to guard the flock and to guard our own lives, and just challenging one another to give our best to God. And this morning, I want to talk to you about having a soft heart, not a calloused heart. And so, if you just turn in your Bibles just quickly to Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 42 to 46. I just want to use that verse, and then I'm going to read a verse in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. But Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 44, 45, 46, somewhere in there, we'll find our way. Lord, I pray you bless the word and bless our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Ezekiel, he's talking about this temple, the new temple that he sees, and you know, he's laying it out. And I don't want to spend a lot of time discussing that temple, but there's these couple of verses in here that I want to speak about. And he said to me in verse 45, I'll start there. Now let's verse 44, just so it fits. It says, rooms for the priests. I don't know what your Bible's title is, but mine says rooms for the priests. And outside the inner gate, within the inner court, there were two rooms, one at the side of the north gate facing south, and the other at the side of the south gate facing north. And so these two rooms are looking at each other. They're rooms for the priests. And he said to me, the room facing south is for the priests who have charge of the temple, and the room facing the north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. Those are the sons of Zadok, who are the only Levites who may draw near to the Lord to minister before him. Amen. And turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, and maybe you'll understand a little later why I'm doing this. But he says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So, may the Lord bless his word this morning. Calluses are a good thing on your hands, but not on your heart. I don't know if you've ever worked up some good calluses in your life. They're good. They help us. But if you've ever had a callus ripped off, that's been there, that's strong, you'll know what I mean, that it hurts. And it leaves the nerve endings hanging there. I remember, I got too many stories, but I can remember years ago, we did a 30-mile marathon, walking marathon. Remember those days you'd walk 30 miles? Walkathon, right? Some old-timers here that understand that. So we were all gung-ho, we were raising money. We walked from Mournville to Sandy Lake Camp, the 30 miles. And I thought I was pretty smart because I was used to working with these work boots that I had, and my feet were used to them, and the calluses were good. I can hear the groaning already. I wasn't so smart back then, you know what I mean? I may look smart, but I'm not that smart. That's a joke. And so about the first 20 miles was okay, but the boots had steel toes too, just remember that, those big leather ones. So after about 20 miles, they start to warm up just a little bit, and I'm starting to realize this wasn't such a smart idea. But when you lose calluses that have been there, that are strong, they get torn off. You know, I don't know if you get a fresh new one, they still hurt, but it's like they bubble up and the skin comes off and that sort of, and you get over it. But when it's something that's been there, and I just want to say this morning, God's in the business of removing calluses on hearts. He wants us to have a soft heart. He wants us to have hearts that are for Him. Amen? Yeah. And the Bible's full of stories about hard hearts and calloused lives and being careful with our life. He says you divorce because of the hardness of your heart. You know, the calluses get too strong, the crusties, they become too hard, and sometimes God has to do some tearing to get us to live again and to feel again. If you think of Jesus, He rebuked at the heart level all the time. It was about the heart. Your hearts are far from me. Your lips are there. He never rebuked over the service of what people were doing. He never challenged them, you know, well, if you had to just work 12 hours instead of 24, you know, he tells us to work hard. He tells us to occupy. He tells us. But he's always going after the heart, that first love, coming back to it, to having a heart for God and not just the talk and having a passion for the things of God. And I could go after many, many verses. And when you hear a failure in ministry, you realize it started at a heart level. And you hear it in people's lives and marriages and homes. It doesn't just happen. And I'll just put a plug in for Carl on the Iron Man back there. He didn't just wake up yesterday and say, Leonard, let's go do a marathon and run 10,000 miles. You know, I would have quoted back to him, you all know the joke, the sinner runs even though no one chases him. You know, that's what we see as marathon runners. But you can't just do what Carl did without choosing your hurt, right? Choosing whether you're going to get up and be, you know, exercise and do things and be smart or you're not. That's a choice too. But you have to make a choice. You have to follow after the things of God when we're talking about spiritual things. We can do ministry with hard hearts. Amen? We can do Christian life with hard hearts. I've proven it. And so have you. Yeah. It's work. It's painful. It's like, and you know the really sucky part about it is that when you stand at the great white throne and, you know, the Bema seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ, there's no reward in it. Your motive was all messed up. Yeah, but it's like it just was hay and stubble and pfft, because your heart wasn't in. Rather, you know, a heart than this miserable guy sweating away doing some what he thinks is a great thing. And it's the same in marriage, and it's the same in church, and it's the same in our walk with God. The South Africans will forgive me, and I've quoted this before, but van bed en tafel geskei, come on, help me there. Talking about, you know, it means, Herman, tell us the exact translation, but, you know, there's a couple that are living in the same house, but there's no warmth in the bed, and there's no warmth at the table. Am I saying close? They've lost the warmth. They're still living in the house, but the bed isn't warm and the table's not warm, and that leads to problems. And that's, I think that's what, if I would try to put down in words the last couple of weeks and what's been on my heart, is I think God is going for our hearts. He wants our heart. And that will lead to amazing service, and that'll lead to taking up our crosses. Otherwise, man, it's not easy. And it's not fun if you're just doing duty, if you're just working for God and not walking with God, if that makes sense, and enjoying the walk and saying, God, I trust you. I don't understand, but I'm in this thing, and I need you to walk me with me through this. And then you can do it. But if it's a struggle and it's work and it's, you know, the word this morning was testify, testify, testify. There's so many good testimonies right in amongst us, right between amongst us, of what God is doing in softening hearts, changing hearts. And I'm saying to myself, God, change this heart. I don't want to live in a cold marriage. I don't want to live in a cold church. I don't want to live in a cold relationship with God. What's the point of that? What does that help anybody? You know, just struggling through. It's like, God, break our hearts. And I said it many times, and people have quoted me, but put your heart on the altar and just beat that thing. Beat it. You know, the heart is wicked. Who can understand? It's like, God, rip this thing out. Give me a heart of flesh again. Give me a heart that's after God. The compliment that David got was he was a man after the heart of God, you know, after God's heart. I want that, and I trust you do as well. So you say, what does that got to do with Ezekiel? Well, I love the picture, and I know you can over-spiritualize all the Old Testament stories, but there is examples there. There's lessons there for us. And he lays out this picture, and there's foreshadowing, and there's types, and there's just good truths that are there. So here's the point. You have these two rooms in this amazing temple. You have one facing this way, opposite each other, and it's for the priests. And we are priests of God, and we are called to minister. But there's that one room that was those who served in the temple. And then there was the other room facing it, and those were the priests who served God himself. And they were ministering to God. And that's how he explains it. And so for me, it's a picture of the visible life of a Christian and the invisible life of a Christian. The visible being that part that everybody sees, the part that we serve and the call of God on our life and the work that we do and the actions as we live it out. And we are called to do that. We are called to minister. We're called to, it's the public ministry. We're all priests, you know, and serve God in the way that we bring people to God and we point people to God and we are involved in that. So it's not one is bad and one is good. It's just, I'm trying to make a point here that there is the part of our Christian life that people see and we need it. And we serve and we raise our kids and we teach them the things of the Lord and they're good things. Amen? So we don't stop doing that. But on the other side, there's this room of priests whose ministry is to the Lord. And to me, that's the invisible ministry. That's the personal one-on-one with God's side of life. And in order to have a good visible life, God help us to have a good invisible life. A one-on-one with God. When we let down on this side of our walk with God, we lose the heart, we lose the passion, we lose the relationship with God and becomes cold and calloused and we hold back and we're still going through the motions. We can still do all those visible things over there without the heart. But one day, sooner or later, the weaknesses will show up. It becomes tired. It sucks, as Jeremy says. It's not fun. When you lose the passion and the personal relationship with God. And if you think about it like a marriage, or you think about it in terms of relationships here among us, friendships and whatever, we can go through so many motions and just faking it for so long. And then either something has to break. And I love it when I see people at an altar just seeking God, not his hands. And I'm not against praying for needs and finances. Trust me, I'm with you. We're in this together. God, what's happened in this country in the last year? You know, I've used the joke, you get paid on the 25th, and thank God your salary makes it to the end of the month. It's just the wrong month. But you know what I mean? It's like, Lord, do something. Help us. So we're not against asking God, seeking his help and his blessing. But more than that, we must seek his face, seek his heart, seek him, the giver of life. And I don't want to, you know, beat on this point, but it's like many times we think our prayers were answered because we got what we wanted. That's not a good proof of answered prayer. Answered prayers, we met with God and he changed our life. And we can forgive, and we can restore, and we can be generous, and do all the godly things, and take up our crosses, and all the things that we've been speaking about the last weeks. But it comes from a heart after God. And I'm saying, God, change my heart. Touch my heart. Break my heart. And if you are not moved in worship, it's been a long time since you've felt it, you know, since you've been emotionally involved in your worship to God and physically involved and moved, I want to challenge you, seek God. You know, we all go through seasons in life. We all go through phases and times, and there's times when it's just like heaven is just, it's right there. It's just, and sometimes the ceiling is brass, and you just feel it, and it's like, okay, that's when I got to pray more. That's when I need to seek God more. That's when I have to, you know, I have to love my wife more when I don't feel like it. Does that make sense? And she has to love me more. Hallelujah. That's the Bible, honey. I'm just... And I don't know where you're at in this walk today, but I'm praying that we would not let down on the invisible side of our Christian life. The part of our life that nobody sees. The part of our life that's just between me and God. And so that's what I was getting at when I was saying, when we responded on an altar, not just to his hands, but to his heart. Sometimes, you know, I love this church because more and more people are just open to respond. Their word of knowledge, just come for prayer. I don't want to go cold in my walk with God. I want passion. Just more and more and more. We all need this. We all need a passion for the things of God to be restored in our lives. You know, we say this is the beginning of a church year. Then let's start this church year with an unbelievable cry to God, come and fill this house. Fill this house. And walk in that secret place with God like never before. And trust me, it'll show up in the visible. That part, well, some of you could do a little better. No, you could work a little harder. But if you get this side right, that side is easy. But if you're over there just trying to, you know, do the things, you know, this is what you're supposed to do with Christianity. And sometimes we just do that. Sometimes you just get up and do what's right. Yes, of course. Sometimes you just don't feel excited when I go to the bank and I type in my little transfer of my tithes and offerings. It's like, but we do it. But then there's times like, I don't know, I don't have any cash in my wallet. Good thing, because there's times when you just want to give for Jesus and see the joy and see the blessing, amen? And see what it means to have a heart after the things of God. When it costs me something, worship costs me, giving costs me, being kind costs me. I got to speak to my neighbor. I got to, you know, I don't think you'll ever hear this recording, or I don't know, but we got a brand new neighbor. And if you know, in our new townhouse setup, we're very close. And 2:30 this morning, he's outside with his cat smoking. I could have been dope, or could have been, I don't know. And then I just hear him coughing. I'm like, oh God, it's hard to love these people. But that's when you got to say, God, I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to do it with a passion for God. And when I don't feel like it, and when I feel like it. Amen? Yeah. So one room's ministering to the needs and connecting people to God, and one room's ministering to God himself. As I said, people can see the visible. They can access that room. People's comments, life circumstances, all kinds of things can put calluses on our hearts in that visible part. Because that's the part that somebody can come, you know, a little too loud that singing, Herman. A little off, Leonard. Comments, the visible part of your life where you're serving God and you're doing what you can is the part that the enemy can often come to and attack, and we can become hardened. It's like, okay, well, I'm not doing that again. I just want to encourage you, and I've said it so many times. Some of you have a gift of giving. Give. Some have a gift of administration, gift of you know, go through the list in the Bible. Whatever your gift is, serving, then just do it as unto the Lord. You say, well, yeah, but nobody else is serving. That's okay. You serve because you love it, and you love to serve people, and you love to give. but not everybody's. No, you give. I'll tell you something. I love to give. I wish I could give more. And God, help us to give more. It's not a hard thing to give. You know, maybe we'll do it. I don't know. I'd like to bless Russell to finish off paying off his teeth. Thank God we have some coverage, but there's a couple grands there that need to be paid for these old teeth. You should sell those things. Maybe they can carve them into necklaces. I don't know, but maybe God's in it. Maybe we need to bless Russell with some teeth. Hallelujah. I don't know, but it's got to be joy in it. It's got to be spontaneous. And we've done that in this church as far as giving and so on, serving one another. How about just worship this morning? How about seeking God this morning? Spontaneous, not forced, not because somebody's up here like, come on. It's just because God is in the house and we want to worship him. And so watch out on the visible side that you don't allow attacks or feelings or hurts or whatever to come after you. I remember, I think it was Matt Tapley talking along these lines to the pastors that when I was invited by Billy Graham. Why did I say that? Because I just lost my thought. It's terrible. It'll come back. Oh, man. It was such a good thought. Amen. I'll get to it. I'll just keep reading my notes until I get it. Yeah. It's not that. It'll come back to me. But what will happen is this visible side of life will carry it into the invisible side. And then we come before God and we're with God and we're like, why? Those people, you know, whatever. And God's over here saying, just, I want to meet with you. Talk to me. Spend time with me. Give me the time. And when we find that place, that's what I'm going to keep coming back to. When we find that place to minister to God himself, I am called to minister to God, to his needs of, not that he's needy, but his wanting and desire to connect to me and to receive worship and for me to pray my simple prayers and to just talk with my Father. He desires that. He desires to be with us and to walk with us. So in this other room, in the intimacy room with God, it's only where God and I know what's going on. No one can come into that room. Only God and I know my heart and his heart for me and the things we talk about and the things we... It's a secret place. And what I'm trying to say is be careful what you bring into that place, because you can bring anger and bring pain and things, disappointments that will rob you of this sweet place with God. So let's try to end. When a callus forms around your heart, oh, I just remembered. It was good. It's powerful. I'll say it quickly. He was talking to ministers, and he was talking to encourage preachers, pastors, leaders, which we all are, to be encouraged. And he said, you know, 10 years ago, literally the words, you would have died to have what you have right now. Don't let disappointments and comments and attacks and thoughts and situations rob you of what you have. Amen? That's what I mean about don't bring it into the place with you and God. Don't let that rob us of it. Because, you know, for us, it's 12 years ago when we came here and we're trusting God and whatever. And it's like, so we're going to get disappointed now? All you got to do is go to Summit Life Church for one Sunday and carry around speakers and signs and banners and chairs. And it's like, thank you, Jesus. There's a whole band full of people up here. There's a whole whack of people that went outside with our kids. There's people tithing. Hallelujah. Rejoice. We would have died to have this 12 years ago. And so, yeah. And if you aren't careful and aren't rejoicing and thankful for it, I'll bring my guitar back and the Rutten von Trapp family singers will be back. And then you'll appreciate it that you have a worship team that changes every week and amazing guys and women singing up here. Amen. That was for free. Do not let stuff that's visible rob you of the good stuff with God. I'm telling you, God is a good God. When I get in the good place with my Father in heaven, it is amazing. Problems disappear. People disappear. They're quite close together, those two. And they disappear. And you're just left with Jesus. Why do people laugh? In the prayer meeting, Eric can say, I prayed for you at 4 o'clock this morning, and I was walking before the Lord, and everybody just gets all serious. I say, I was praying for you at 4 o'clock this morning. And everybody's like, ooh. I will not let that come from the visible to the invisible. Hallelujah. I will stay in a sweet spot with Jesus. If you bring people and problems and stuff into this private room, then let it be just so that you can say, God, change my heart. Yeah, we pray for our spouse to change. Change me. People in the church, change me. And we can walk with everyone. And that's the beauty of church, right? You have to be committed to Jesus. I have to be committed to Jesus. And we said that a couple of weeks ago. That's what makes us unique. That's why we can sit in this room together. Many of you wouldn't be my friend. But we can come into the house of God and worship together and love God and pray for each other. And anyhow, I said I'm going to try to end this. When calluses form, God has to send maybe a Nathan like he did to David. Say, you're the man. Remember David? Started out as a shepherd boy, worshiping God, playing his harp. He became king. What happened? God had to remind him. God had to tear some calluses off. David, you are the man. Thank God he responded well and repented. Yeah, I've already touched on those things. I found them in my notes. Second thing, we're good at ministry, Christianity, but we are distant from God. Could I have the band come? Because I don't want to just keep beating this thing. Mark chapter 6, he says, Jesus sent them out. His disciples, they're excited. They're amazed. They came back just amazed at the healings and the deliverance that took place. But in Mark chapter 9, just three chapters later, they couldn't cast out a demon. And it's just a picture of becoming casual with the things of God. We have stages, we have times when we just, oh man, we're just depending on Jesus, we're just simple faith, and we just, you know, I was talking about walking to Bible camp to raise money for church about 50 years ago with my boots on. That's all we ever did is go to church. And we loved it. And if there's altar times, we just responded and we worshiped. And I don't want to become professional at Christianity. I want to be a man who loves God, whose heart is for the things of God. And if that takes some calluses to get ripped off, I always like George Foreman's quote. He would wake up at 4 in the morning because his enemies were waking up at 5. And he would say, you know, if you didn't do this in secret, in the quiet place, in the secret place, it would show up in the public place. We need that secret place with God. We need that one-on-one place with God. I'm asking some of you to cross the hall a little bit. Come with me in this season that we're in. Come to the place where we find that sweet place with God. And we know him and we love him. In the verse I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, he says, since we have these promises, and you can go read through the promises. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And it's simply, what I'm trying to say there is, there's this body and there's spirit. There's the visible and the invisible. There's the public life that we live, and there's the private life. And this morning, I believe God wants to put his hand on the private life of us today. Would you open your heart this morning and say, God, show me my heart. Take off some calluses. They're good for the hands, but they're not good for my heart. I want a heart that's soft. I want to break up the fallow ground, the areas of my life that nobody gets to touch. Nobody. Only God and I know those areas of my heart, and he wants to open them up. And some of it's painful. Some of it is hurt. Some of it is you built that to protect yourself. Church people have, leaders have messed you up. Spouses have, life. Life sucks. But we come into this sweet place and God just starts massaging the heart. And I'm saying, God, in this season as a church, you want our hearts. Take our hearts. So I'm going to ask you to bow this morning your heads and your eyes. Close your eyes for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and do what I can't do, even for myself. Open up our hearts. Remove calluses, even if it hurts. I want to feel the breath again. The air touching fresh skin. The Spirit of God touching my heart again. I pray that for us today. I pray that for this church. And so, Lord, I just ask to help us, help me to respond to you today. Just because we love you. Not for what we get, but because we love you. Help me. Help me to love you this morning, Father. By your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name.